Let's turn this cold open over to Abraham Simpson.
Death stalks you at every turn.
Grandpa?
Well, it does. Ah! Death! There it is! Death!
It's only Maggie.
Oh, yeah. You know, at my age, the mind starts playing tricks. So, ah! Death!
That's only the cat.
Oh. Ah! Death!
That's Maggie again, Grandpa.
Oh, where were we? Death!
That was Final Destination Bloodlines, which was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hello, my name's Sean Collier, and I'm here with, what did we do last?
What Lies Beneath?
I'm here with two neighbors who are sick of seeing Michelle Pfeiffer's face over the fence.
Mind your own business, lady. Wait, I should have waited for my name.
Robin Hitchcock. And Camila Adams.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah, What Lies Beneath. Thank you. I wrote down the score, but not the name of the film. That score was 66 and a third, tied with Mommy Dearest.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Sure.
Diana Scarwood hour.
Yeah. She makes films that are two-thirds perfect. Mommy Dearest wins the tiebreaker because Camila gave Mommy Dearest an 83.
Yippers.
She loves that movie.
Always.
But so much to get into. Officially, this is the Final Destination Bloodlines episode, but we tagged on the original Final Destination from way back in 2000 just to kind of address the series in general.
Yeah, just to kind of also just kind of like pad out the episode because Bloodlines is pretty recent, and we all have spoken on it.
Not me, but the two of you both. Yeah, we have two prior episodes. You could go check out our thoughts on Final Destination's Bloodlines.
But that said, I want to start with Robin. Take us through your journey.
Okay. Well, I watched the original Final Destination, like, Blockbuster Night when it came out, and I remember thinking, oh, that was clever. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I know I've seen Final Destination 2 because I'm afraid of log trucks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe I've seen the intro to Final Destination 3. That's the one with the roller coaster. Yeah. Yep. The other ones are a mystery to me. And then I watched this one because I had to.
So you had no plans on ever watching
this? I mean, here's the thing. I'm trying to watch 120/25 movies, and mm-hmm. I'm like well behind on my marks. So like anything that was released in 2025 that's on streaming is fair game right now. But I probably would have put this towards the end of that list because my whole feeling with these movies is like it all goes on way too long. Mm-hmm. That is the thing. It's like I get it. And
the movie in itself or the scene?
Each death scene is like twice as long as I want it to be. And I sent Sean and Camila a picture last night of me with my hair in my face. And I was like, this is how I'm watching this movie. Because like it started with the glass falling into the ice, which is in the trailer.
Yeah.
Drinks all around. Say it all.
Family, you don't get to pick the one you get. Just gotta love the one you got.
I always knew this day would come. I held him off for years.
Death is coming for our family.
I said, oh, 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 oh.
Grandma, what's happening to us?
Years ago, I had a premonition that started it all.
I saw what Death was about to do.
But Death doesn't like it when you mess with his plans.
It all started with Grandma. Death is coming for us because we were never supposed to exist.
What?
Only by embracing Death will it pass you by.
Maybe Death's not actually coming for our family. Because that would be crazy.
good luck.
It's weird that this trailer really focused on backyard hijinks and not the Space Needle. Like, the Space Needle, it gets into it.
They didn't want people to be like, oh, a period piece, boo.
I think that the backyard hijinks was very effective.
I think that's the scariest scene in the movie.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Because it's like, okay, your journey.
No, please go ahead.
Because it's kind of like, that's like the most Hitchcockian of it all, because it's like, we see the broken glass go into the ice, and we're all just waiting, and like every little thing happens, and she, like, the girl chokes, and they're like, oh my gosh, she got the ice. Nope, it wasn't. And the dude, like, starts, you know, chewing on the ice. He got the glass. Nope, he didn't. And then it's like, you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. It's so tense.
That's what I'm talking about. I hate it. I'm like, stop.
I think that's fun.
Stop it. So it's really hard for me to enjoy these. And yet I'm ultimately, like, above water on Final Destination's Bloodlines because, like, it's so fucking clever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm like, this is very clever and I hate it.
Two things can be true.
The opening sequence is 20 minutes long.
Well, yeah, there's a lot going on there. I bet you they all are. Like, I know maybe not the log trucks, but like the roller coaster and
the airplane seems to have been that long.
Yeah.
Because that was...
The airplane did, I mean, I didn't time it. I should have. They also spend a lot more time establishing characters, though,
right,
in that one, because those characters stay throughout the rest of the movie,
right,
which is not the case here.
But are you troubled just by the nervousness of the... Okay.
Yeah, well, like, I showed up to recording today with two fire blankets to give to Sean and Camille.
I have never seen a reaction to a movie that severe. Appreciate it.
No, thank you very much. That wasn't the whole thing. She texted us last night, like, one, do you have an implement in your car that smashes the windows and can cut the seatbelt? Right. And we both did.
All right.
Yeah, everyone should have one of those. They're like $8. Save your life.
She also asked if we had fire blankets,
and now we do.
Those are like $12, but they can save your life. Yeah. Go get a fire blanket.
Because my one mild criticism of Bloodlines, which I do like, is everyone just kind of smushes into Jell-O. Like, for as gory as these movies are.
You mean they're all blood bags?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's so much smash apart a person blood in this movie.
Right. And that makes it, I mean, I get that I said to Robin, just pretend these are punchlines with goopy jokes, or jokes with goopy punchlines, because they are a little bit more comical than, it's not hostile. It's not even Saw.
No, you're right. And I would rather watch any of these movies than any of those movies.
Right. Because when it gets to the gore, it is a little silly.
Yeah, it's Looney Tunes-y. A piano literally smushes a kid, which is great.
Love that.
Had it coming.
That kid's annoying.
Right, he was a fucker.
Well, if you missed this one, which I don't think you did because a lot of people saw it, but if you missed Bloodlines, I only have a recap for Bloodlines. I'm not recapping.
Yeah, that's fine.
You all know what happens in the original.
Right.
There's a plane. They get off of it. They die. Tell me when.
Go.
It's the summer of 69, and Paul proposes to Iris at the new janky proto Space Needle, but the biggest cinematic brat since the 6-foot turkey kid from Jurassic Park throws a penny off the roof, leading to a chain reaction that topples the tower and kills everybody. But whoops, it was just a premonition. Iris warns everyone, and they make it to safety. But whoops, it was actually a dream of a premonition, as Iris's granddaughter Stephanie is dreaming of her estranged grandmother dying. Stephanie tracks down the still-living Iris, who explains that her premonition interrupted Death's design, and Death is working his way through everyone who should have died that night, and everyone descended from someone who should have died that night. Iris is terminally ill, so she proves how true this whole death business is by allowing Death to smash through her face. Stephanie tracks down fellow survivor Bloodworth, aka Tony Todd from the rest of the series. It's a retcon reveal, while the rest of Iris's line starts going splat. Bloodworth says they can beat Death if they die and are resuscitated, yada yada yada. Stephanie drowns but is revived. She thinks she's won, but a conveniently occurring doctor points out that that doesn't actually count as dying, so Stephanie and her brother are smushed by primary series antagonist Big Logs.
Oh, shit. You went over 2 seconds. But,
but worth it.
Yeah.
That was editing down and basically cutting out all of the family members in the drama.
Yeah,
which
a lot of.
It's my big criticism of Bloodlines is it's a little too long, and there's a few too many
characters.
One fewer shithead cousin.
I liked the cousins.
I'm not saying that they're not likable. They're just shitheads.
Yeah, kind of.
I've seen all these, like, a million times over. Mm-hmm. But I'm not, I don't know if my paranoia starts because of Final Destination.
Chicken or egg.
Yeah. Or if it was already there. Because I kind of feel like I grew up in a family like with the generation of old wives' tales always. So like we were, there was always the threat of the mundane being the thing that's going to kill you.
You're going to get electrocuted in the shower.
Exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, the don't use your phone during a thunderstorm. Mm-hmm. You get like shit like that. So,
don't dial the phone at the gas station.
That's a real thing.
No, it's not.
What?
Mythbusters handled it.
Oh, okay.
It is impossible to generate a spark that would cause a fire with a phone ring.
All right. Good to know.
I'll never know for sure.
I mean, I that's exactly my attitude about it. Thank you. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm not testing it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah. And then so like when this was the first 3 years of Kajiya's life for me mentally, just like the whole, the final destiny, how anything like, oh, so this fucking, that sock, you're just gonna leave a sock in the middle of the floor. That's nice decapitation. Like it's just,
well, wait, isn't the movie Baby's Day Out just a baby nearly avoiding disaster, or am I conflating it with an Animaniac segment?
It could be both. Okay. I don't remember.
But yes, right? Like, it's so scary when you're in charge of a human.
Right. And then it made me think of this episode of Friends, which I remember seeing like, thank you! Season 9, episode 5, the one with Phoebe's birthday dinner.
Oh my god, I left the water running!
But you did not leave the water.
Rachel and Ross accidentally lock Emma together, in the okay? apartment.
You haven't cooked since 1996.
Is the window open? Because if the window's open, a bird could fly in there. And
oh my God, you know what? I think you're right. I think, you know, wait, listen. A pigeon. No. An eagle flew in. Landed on the stove and caught fire. The baby, seeing this, jumps across the apartment to the mighty bird's aid. The eagle, however, misconstrues this as an act of aggression and grabs the baby in its talon. Meanwhile, the faucet fills the apartment with water. Baby and bird, still ablaze, are locked in a death grip, swirling around the whirlpool that fills the apartment.
Boy, are you going to be sorry if that's true.
That to me,
Brad Pitt, you idiot.
That to me is the first Rube Goldberg death in the first movie. Because a lot of the first movie ones are got hit by a bus, got, you know, like,
right,
like fairly direct. Except for the kid who, like, we have to posit that, like, weird blue goop comes out of toilets and that the little thing you hang your towel from.
That was water.
Yeah, just water leaking. I think it's like, you know, the cleaner.
Toilet water, yeah.
The cleaner in the water tank.
Haven't you ever used a toilet where the water is dyed blue because of chemicals?
No, yeah, but that, we kept showing it like it was a sticky substance, and that's why he couldn't get his feet under him in the bathtub.
That was the conditioner or shampoo or whatever that he knocked over in the tub, which another thing always in my head when I see like the shampoo bottles and shit. So the toilet water is what he slipped on, which got him caught up in the clothesline, but he couldn't stand up in the tub because he knocked over like a bottle of conditioner or shampoo or something.
But even then, you could fall on the bath spout and get that through the back of your neck. If that thing wraps around your neck, it's just going to pull out of the wall.
Yeah.
That thing cannot support the weight of an adult man.
Well, also, yeah. That
he is
thing
pretty
too,
slim.
Yeah, that thing too. That was like a magnet. Like,
oh,
was,
yeah.
Was that what it was, like magnet hold on the thing? So it wasn't like it was lodged into the wall.
Yeah.
So,
no, that should have fallen.
Point, yeah.
It's the first one is kind of bad.
I disagree. I think the first one is just 25 years old and followed up by ones that go so much harder. It reminds me of when we watched the early Fast and the Furious movies and we were like, these are so normal.
I just, it's the script more than anything.
Sure.
The angry guy who hates the protagonist for
the
no reason.
The guy from Dawson's Creek?
Yeah.
Literally gets angry and says, I'm never gonna die, and storms off. That's most of the script of this.
Yeah.
And Devin Sawa, like, why are you researching these things? Like, how hard can we establish that you're afraid of planes? It's very signifier-y, that first one.
I will say that I watched Bloodlines first because I wanted to be able to give it my full attention and because I also, you know, I was worried, like, I was right, that I would have Final Destination fatigue having to watch two in a row. But I also was so relieved watching the second one how chill everything was.
True.
Like, it's not until, like, even that kid dying in the shower, there's only, like, four or five steps of the Rube Goldberg. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not till the teacher dies where it's really like, you guys, you are being silly.
I found that more plausible, you know? Everything's blowing up. There's knives.
No, I mean, the shit was crazy. It all, look, to me, a paranoid person, it all was plausible. Yeah. The whole thing. Yes, it absolutely could happen that way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. These things do happen is the thing. Like, you hear you hear about people dying in freak accidents. It's a thing that happens. It's just not something that you should really let change the way you live your life, because then you will go insane. Mm. But death is everywhere. That's the thing.
Death!
Right.
And, like, I was thinking about the other movie I watched this year that's basically the same, The Monkey.
Right.
And, like, I didn't particularly care for The Monkey when I was watching it. And then I found out that the director's mom died on September 11th. And his dad's Anthony Perkins, so he also died young and tragically.
Oh, that's right.
So I feel like the movie suddenly made sense to me. I was like, oh, when your parents die when you're young, which is what happened to me, you learn too early on that death is everywhere.
Right. So you had to process it.
Yes, right? And death comes, and also my parents both died suddenly, so it's like death comes out of nowhere. It's just like, at any moment, the rug could go.
Right.
So,
death!
Yeah.
So did you then, how did you respond? The Bloodlines is the one that spends the most time on, like,
Family curse,
but also family trauma. Mm. Like, your mom was like this and it fucked us up.
Right, right.
So did that work for you?
I don't have children.
Mm. Like, you are a child of people.
Oh, okay. I was like,
not right now.
41.
you are someone's child.
Yeah. Sure, okay. No, what I mean is there's many reasons I don't have children, but that might be low-key one of them, is that I'm like, death is everywhere!
Death!
Well, you already addressed the sock and the decapitation.
Right?
No, man, it's a real thing, but it's just like Robin is saying, it's like, there's only so much that you can allow it to control your life. And I just gotta say, I'm thank God for Kaj that she has a second parent in the home. There are a lot of things that she probably would not have been allowed to do had it just been me at the helm here.
Well, Bloodlines was released May 16th. That's just 23 weeks ago as we're recording this. This is almost as current as we did Freaky not long after it came out.
Yeah.
We've never gotten to the point where we could theoretically go to the theater. But, like, this might be the closest.
We vetoed one time that was in that scenario.
What?
It was, like, the Looney Tunes movie that Colin Jost is in. Jost? Well, I don't know. I hate that guy. I don't need to know how to say his name.
Scarlett Johansson's husband?
23 weeks ago as we're recording, it was the 13th number one movie of this year. Won its opening weekend with a big $51.6 million. That is big for right now. Beating week three of Thunderbolts. So it had a clear path, but it made a lot of money. Fellow debut, Hurry Up Tomorrow. That's the weekend's latest Vanity Project thing.
Oh, yeah.
That was the same weekend. Debuted in 8th. So I went from generally liking that guy to generally hating that guy.
Me too.
Very Everybody gradually, did. But decisively.
Yeah, I think that was like the general vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've been to I've been to the official weekend haunted house. That did not turn me
There's
around.
A, no.
1 year at Horror Nights, one of the haunts was the weekend's nightclub.
Oh, that's right.
Spookiness. Why? Or whatever.
Because he really loves being attached to projects.
Yeah. I guess some of his videos are kind of horror themed, but like no more than anybody.
Right, like. Okay.
Spent 6 weeks in the top 10, $138 million, currently 14th for this year. That'll drop. We've still got an Avatar and a Zootopia and a Wicked, so but still very good. Easily the top grossing film in the franchise. In fact, more than twice the nearest competitor, which is The Final Destination, which is four. From 2011. That made
2009. 2009?
That one's 2009?
The Final Destination 4 is 2009. Final Destination 5 is 2011.
Correct. 4 was the one that was in 3D. So it made $66.4 million, but it got a 3D ticket boost.
Was this one in 3D also? Bloodlines?
I don't think so. Okay. No one's really doing it anymore.
Okay. They still do it for animated movies.
Animated stuff, yeah. And maybe Mission Impossible. I'm sure Avatar.
Avatar.
Yeah, I'm saving a pair of contacts for Avatar.
good.
Otherwise, they all made between $42 and $66 million. Five in 2011 was the lowest, $42.5 million domestic on a $40 million budget. So it was, the series was on ice for a while. Worth noting, Bloodlines is also easily the best reviewed of the series. Bloodlines is at 92% on Rotten
Tomatoes. Holy shit.
Keeping in mind, that can be everyone giving it a 6 out of 10. You know, that's just
which
like,
I think is probably true, but right. Like, it's still hard to have above 90 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes, yes. Final Destination 5 is the closest at 63%. 2 had a 52%. The original is 49%.
Really? I'm surprised. I know Ebert liked it.
On its way to $53.3 million at the box office. Speaking of that, Final Destination was released March 17th, 2000. Not a number one movie in America. Its opening weekend was won by the debuting Aaron Brockovich. $28.1 million. Followed by week 2 of Disney's Mission to Mars. Final Destination debuted in 3rd. Spent 7 weeks in the top 10, $53.3 million, 49th place for that year. The story was an X-Files spec script.
I noticed that there were X-Files guys in the credits.
Yes.
For Bloodlines?
No, the original.
Oh. Wrote an X-Files spec script about death claiming people who survived a plane crash. Jeffrey Reddick is the series creator. He has done other stuff, but he is mainly the creator of Final Destination. New Line bought the spec script, told him to develop it as a feature. That caught the attention of writing-directing partners James Wong and Glenn Morgan, best known for their work on The X-Files. Wong directed the first film. That was his directorial debut. Those three guys stuck around for a while. By the time of the fourth one, these are kind of just directed by and written by whoever. Bloodlines has 2 credited directors and 3 credited writers. The only notable one is Guy Busick, who is in that crew that did Ready or Not, Scream 5 and 6, etc. Bloodlines went into development in 2019, was going to be a complete departure and a soft reboot with no connection to the other films, and they didn't do that and connected it to the other films, because that's better. It was also intended for a Max-only release, but was bumped up to theatrical.
Yeah. Because they were like, oh, this is actually good.
Probably. And I mean, they're... Look,
somebody probably thought the death scenes looked better, bigger.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers is in an evil era. Zaslav is everyone's
enemy.
They're making
so much money,
They're the only... They hit every release this year. We talked about this already, but everything they put out worked. And he must have some formula or algorithm that is going to tell them, like, hey, this is going to work in theaters with audiences and this isn't.
Mm. Right.
As a result, the seventh film is in development now.
Of course.
And let's get to Tony Todd.
First of all, I remember us talking about Tony Todd earlier, both times you guys talked about this movie. Mm-hmm. No memory of him previously being in the other Final Destination movies.
Really? Mm-hmm.
No memory of that. It was gone from my brain.
I want to say there was one he wasn't in.
I think there's 2 he's not in. Yeah. I think he's in like 1, 2, 5 and this.
Yeah, I see.
The third and fourth ones didn't even have Tony Todd money.
Right.
Which, by the way, if you look at his IMDb, was not a lot of money.
Maybe he was otherwise booked.
Yes, sure. Probably that. This is his final performance, and for a full 10 extra points on my eventual score, his last few lines were left up to him.
Oh my God!
That was scripted up until he said...
I'll see you soon?
No, it was scripted up until he said something about Iris, something about his friend, you know. And then everything after that...
So his time to die.
Enjoy every moment, you never know when it's coming.
And he knew he was dying at this point?
Yes.
Oh my God.
All of that was them going to him and saying, what would you like to say to the audience?
I intend to enjoy the time I have left. And I suggest that you do the same. Life is precious. Enjoy every single second. You never know when. Good luck.
I know.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's
Camille and I are both in tears.
It's the Final Destination's Bloodline episode that brings us to tears.
I know.
It just was really...
Because it's actually very beautiful what he says.
Yeah.
And like, oh. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Ugh.
It's... I mean, not that I wish the knowledge of mortality on anybody, but I wish more actors had that opportunity.
Right.
And it does... This is a silly franchise, but it dovetails so nicely with that character in this movie, in this story.
That's why it did so well. And yeah. That's why I went to the theater. Mm-hmm.
I do think people probably said, like, you know, one reason you really got to see this is Tony Todd's last performance.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I saw it the first time, like, thinking of all of this as a coincidence, in between learned that fact that I just gave you, and that, you know, he kind of knew he was on the way out, and that wrecked me when I was watching it. It wrecked you too now.
Right.
I mean, I had the knowledge. Back then.
I mean, you had mentioned that, you know, mm-hmm. that he goes out sort of saying like, well, it's been nice,
right,
but I wasn't ready for how it's
how
like,
much
and
it was,
I
like,
definitely
hey,
wasn't
what
ready.
What do you want to say to the audience?
And I was not ready for him mm-hmm. writing it. Oh,
yeah.
He's great.
Extensive Pittsburgh connections, by the way. Mm. Filmed, starred in the locally shot Tom Savini version of Night of the Living Dead. Was very complimentary about the area at the time, but also correctly diagnosed Western Pennsylvania as spooky. Yeah. It is.
Yes.
He was talking about driving around the country roads with the fog and the trees.
And the trees without leaves on them.
Yeah. And then, I don't think he took it to Broadway. He was the original King Hedley II in August Wilson's King Hedley II.
Really?
Premiering at the O'Reilly Theater downtown.
Amazing.
Wow. That's one of the ones that premiered here and then went to Broadway. I don't think he took it to Broadway, but he originated the role.
Cool.
Downtown Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so around the first couple years that I moved here, Tony Todd was, for whatever reason, he was here. There used to be a video store downtown. Mm. One of my friend's boyfriends or something like that worked at this place. He goes into the place, into the video store, and they get him to call his girlfriend at the time, my friend, and leave a message as Candyman.
No!
On her voicemail. I forget what it says.
I would break up with someone for doing that to me.
Hilarious.
That would be the end of that relationship.
Some of those voices. He's fantastic, and I do want to transition to one of the reasons this is good, one of the reasons Bloodlines is good, and why I think it's the best in the series. It finally does lay out some rules for this.
Right.
The murder somebody, or...
Is that from a previous one?
They hint at it, but it's never really clear.
I do love the moment of, like, we're not killing a baby.
but the acknowledgement that it would take a beat.
Right.
That you'd have... I mean, no.
And this is what I'm talking about with shithead cousins, because that one cousin... He might kill a baby.
Right, yeah. Left to, on his own,
yes.
He would
have. But what does bother me about the whole franchise is I need some more guidance on what
Thank
Death's
you.
Powers are and when they can be deployed. Because the fundamental premise of this movie, like, it took him decades to get through.
Right.
No, it didn't. He just finished six in like 4 days.
Yeah. Right.
So does he have to like look around? Does he have a recharge period? Does he have like...
Are like the other random? Like are right. all deaths designed? Or are there some that are just random? And he's like, oh shit, I got a 911 call.
Did he keep getting distracted by the events of Final Destinations 1 through 5? Because like he's in the middle of this big...
Project.
And it's like... What a plane? What did the? Because the directors did specify
theory.
That all of the previous victims were not part of the tower disaster.
Right.
Chain. Okay.
They are just other things that happen, which also is like, is no one going to explain why people keep having very similar death premonitions?
Thank you. I would like some explanation on that. I would have loved it had they all been some sort of relative.
Right.
Of these people.
Yeah.
Of not everybody in this, but like the people that, mm-hmm. you know, survived the needles, the space needle thing, which by the way, I hate everything about that fucking restaurant. The height, the elevator, the glass floor.
The glass dance floor.
Come like, on. No one wants that.
Like what the
fuck? When she goes, that's supposed to be a good thing.
Right. That would have been Makio like, no, I'm just going to write back right? down.
It's been a big year in cinema for legally not the space needle. Drop.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was legally not the rotating restaurant in Midtown Manhattan.
Oh, okay, sure.
Dude, I went on one of those. My sister in Atlanta, which after she got married, that was where she had her little brunch or whatever. It was horrible. Like the rotating. It's like if you get seasick, I guess, it's not a good thing to do because I was like I was dizzy and nauseous and I had to like fixate on the one thing that wasn't find something that wasn't moving.
Well, and what's the middle isn't rotating. So you're seeing some people stay in place and other tables move past.
It's a real mind fuck.
No.
Speaking of which, no one ran to the middle. I understand you panic in a disaster situation, but no one's like, let's just hang out not by the edge of this thing.
Sequence that poor woman with the piano.
Oh my God. The opening sequence, like I said, I think it's too long. I think Sean's point that all the bodies are bags of blood is it's a little bit much.
Yeah.
I did enjoy
the Maynard D.
I was going to say, I did enjoy when the bodies start falling and the valets are like, what?
And they just like, and it just kind of trot away. Yes. Like, there's still no real panic or understanding of what's happening. They're just kind of like, well, I guess we should move.
That was funny to me. But I loved when we eventually see her avert the disaster, her like doing a dance through the restaurant to like put out fires. That was fun.
Yes.
I liked the foreshadowing via cracking creme brulee.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, things can break. Surfaces can break. Wait a minute. And the whole arc of the bratty kid. Like, I know. Our Letterboxd list, by the way, is I Hate Children, a list of movies that dare to take out a child. Just, he's the kid plays it perfectly, and it sets up he's an asshole so much, and then his, like, little victory, I made it, smush. Two thumbs up.
So, Tony Todd's character, which I just now found out his name was Bloodworth. So now we find out that he's a survivor. And this one, and has been on death's
list for 50 years.
How has he been?
He and Iris got really good at it.
And he's just been hanging around.
Right, because Iris is like constantly avoiding death by falling planter.
Right.
Which I'm like, maybe don't hang up so many planters.
Right, yeah. What are we doing, Iris? Yeah.
Her compound is way more dangerous than a normal ass building.
Yes.
All of those spikes and metal things and the gates and the thing. Like,
100%.
It's
like you're most likely to be killed by your own gun, right?
Yeah,
like you're most likely to be killed by your own spikes to keep people out of your house.
Right. Like go find yourself a nice loft. To just one floor space and just be there. But yeah, so like Bloodworth, he seems to be just living his life normally. And or does he have like a little thing with death? Like, you know what? I'll go ahead and I'll work here as a mortician. Ooh,
I like that answer.
He's very respectful. He keeps pointing out like not only, you know, is this what's going on? Don't try to fuck with it.
Mm.
So maybe death likes him, but he is the last one on the list because they've established that
the order that people would have died in the fake space needle.
In the premonition is the order of death. He was the final one.
Iris was right before him.
And then as the other survivors keep having descendants, which again, it would not take that long.
But. Right. And it seems like, I agree with you, it would not take that long, but it does seem like he is going through each person in the order that they would have died and then their descendants, which could take a while. It's 50 years, right?
True story.
Now, my theory is there are multiple deaths and this is just one person's inbox.
And he's a little lazy.
Yes.
He's like, I'll get to it.
All of the other movies were some other more efficient death.
He's like watching YouTube when he's supposed to be working. God damn, not another Teams meeting.
Candy Crush.
I'm on it.
And when he gets two at once, he just got fed up. And it's like, two logs.
One will land slightly faster.
By the way, I'm going to put in some PTO.
I do the log truck. Come on. Way to identify what the people want and give it to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And then like the whole thing with their advertising for it was like a log truck or something.
They put the log truck in the ads for this movie?
No.
No, like they put a log truck on the road.
Yeah, on the road with an ad.
Oh, I see.
Or maybe it was just painted, but still, you're noticing.
Effective.
I'm getting out of the lane every time.
I do.
I don't know when to address the first one. Ali Larter outclassed everybody in that movie.
And the first one?
Yes.
Okay,
I've determined that Devon Sawa is not an actor I like. He is bad at acting.
Doesn't matter.
That happens. That's valid.
He's got a very... I don't know that I've seen him in anything else, really, other than like Final Destination, and I've seen some of his adult work, which is very, it's very different, obviously. So I don't know if that, was that frantic guy always?
Not like porn, right?
No, as an adult.
Okay. I will say this is definitely a less attractive moment for him. This was sort of like as he is de-twinkening.
Yeah, dude, because I was like, this guy?
Exactly.
When he gets out that Penthouse magazine. Like, I know that there had to be a moment like that in every teen movie in the it's just like
it's so pointless.
Oh my god.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so like one of the big things about the compare and contrast of 1 and 6, the last one, is that the first one and then all the other ones, I guess, too, are basically strangers who get pulled together by death. And then this last one is about a family who's kind of getting torn apart.
Yeah.
Because of death.
This helps Robin's different deaths theory. This is the death assigned to multi-generational
family units.
Family units.
So like two questions I have. One, do you think it's better to just like have a bunch of strangers?
Than your family being eliminated one by one? Yes.
Not in real life.
Sorry.
For the movie.
I am
for the franchise.
I am thinking
about. That's a really
about,
interesting point.
I am thinking about not Jennifer Coolidge, right? Who's like,
she, like I'm so not, much better.
Not only did she lose everyone in her family, she even lost the one that was supposed to be safe.
Yeah, yeah.
Poor, and she doesn't come back. She does not return to the movie after they leave the house.
Right.
Poor lady.
It's real fucking tragic for her. And the other question is, are you guys good flyers?
Because I had to become one when I lived in Cape Town. You just get used to it.
I just the logic overrides. I'm like,
and Sean loves a little trip.
I love what I do. Love a little trip. I hate flying because I'm too big for seats.
Check off your Robin box.
What is the Robin box?
She hasn't mentioned Cape Town in all that time.
No, which
that
is surprising.
Cannot
that
be true.
Absolutely, I know. Shocking. Imagine my chagrin when all
that
this
should have
time.
Been the first one to go.
Exactly.
Oh my god! Wow, I'm going to be bragging about this, which will unfortunately be a form of bringing up having lived in Cape Town. I can't win.
Were you trying to provoke that with the "Are you good flyers?" question?
No,
no. Okay.
I was just legit because I'm a terrible flyer. I fucking hate it.
I go into rage now because I'm a bigger guy, but I'm not really big. I don't know, but the seats have shrunken so much.
Yeah.
That like my shoulders are wider than
a seat back,
a basic economy.
Yeah.
So I'm out into the aisle under normal circumstances. So I'm enraged. I'm too mad about that to be afraid of the flight. But generally, I'm just like, I drive all over the damn country. And I know that is 10 times more dangerous. So
yeah,
I can't be afraid of this logically.
Isn't it fun when you can out logic your
death?
Yeah.
Out logic death.
By the way, I ran this series fairly recently. It's 2 or 3 years ago, and I ranked them. Where I'm trying to pull.
I don't
it up
even
now.
Remember what the fifth one. I know. Okay, so the first one was the airplane. Second one was the highway. Third one was
roller
the roller coaster. Fourth one was
NASCAR
a bridge.
Race.
Oh, that was the NASCAR race. Okay, so the fifth one was the bridge.
Fifth one was the bridge.
Okay.
Bloodlines is the best. I actually have the third one as the best of the original run, the roller coaster one.
Huh.
Maybe because Mary Elizabeth Winstead is an actual actress, and those are usually absent from these.
Yeah.
Then the fifth one, then the original. I have the logs next to last.
That was a pretty shitty cast.
Yeah. I mean, the opening sequence might be the best.
Yeah.
Everything after that is useless.
Yeah.
And they, like, end up in a weird marshy area. Like, that one's bad. Yeah. The fourth one is definitely the worst. But, yeah, I don't have the original that high because I think it's a million points for concept, bad cast, bad script.
Okay, first of all, I do want us to acknowledge Ali Larter is apparently racist and icky. So boo to her. There was like a whole thing when she was on the set of Heroes that she was like really awful to her black co-star. And so, yuck, boo to her.
Yeah.
Also, I watched most of the movie last night and fell asleep, and I thought her character's name was Claire when I was watching it last night. Her character's name is Clear.
Clear Rivers.
I was reading
her
that.
Her name is Clear Rivers?
Yes.
Go away. Go to bed.
All these years, I thought it was Claire.
Well, because they say it like Claire. Claire.
Because Claire. No one is willing to acknowledge this choice.
Claire.
There's a dumb callback, and when they're trying to figure the name of the hospital in Bloodlines, they're like, nice rivers, two rivers, clear, and somebody cuts her off. So at least the current writers know that's a dumb name. Dumb name. Well, I'm sorry I complimented her.
I mean, listen, she is a better actor than most of the other people involved.
She's a better actress than everyone.
Sean William Scott, while he had not figured out how to act yet, is still charming.
Bless his soul.
Yes.
Like, he is
so awkward, but
is perfect.
Still
for whatever
charming.
That
role. Yes, and we needed a goofy character like that.
What do you mean hadn't learned to act yet?
Fair.
Did it happen at some point?
You know, yes, it did. There was a sitcom called Welcome to Flatch, and he was very charming on it as an ex-Christian boy band member who became a pastor.
All of these are words I've never heard before.
The disaster always happens too fast the second time around, in the premonition round.
You think so?
There was not enough time in the original movie between him getting them off the plane and the plane blowing up in the background. And there was not enough time between her saying, everyone get off the dance floor, it's going to break, and the dance
floor
breaking.
The last thing I want is these movies to be more drawn out, so I'll allow it.
That's true. Don't ruin Shout like that, although great. The needle drops in Bloodlines are
That's very
fantastic.
True.
Yeah.
Oh, and Mary Beth insists that I point out that the mortician we saw before we saw Tony Todd is a character from Riverdale and basically the same character.
Oh, cool.
That guy plays a mortician in Riverdale and looks like
that. I love that Riverdale needs a recurring mortician.
Apparently it's quite a... I have only seen literally the last scene of Riverdale.
Oh, boy.
But it was very effective.
I've never seen any episodes.
It made me meditate on death, which is apparently all around.
To this day, the girl getting hit by the bus in the first one, it's still, like, shocking.
It is.
It's still very jarring.
Yes.
Does everyone in the world own a black, sleek coat for a rainy funeral? Am I the only one who doesn't?
I do not have one.
I don't have one.
Okay. Because in this...
Is this something that they go out and purchase for the event? Or?
It seems like everyone has one ready to go.
I do recommend having funeral clothes, by the way.
Death is everywhere.
The last thing you do not want to have to go to a Black House White Market right after your dad dies. Ask me how I know.
This movie contains an important warning about genital piercings. I don't know why you would in the first place.
But. So awful. But yeah,
I missed that detail because I had the hair screen up.
That's the one that does it.
Yeah.
Because it's blocked by the denim, so it can't pull through, so he goes with it.
No. No. Absolutely not. Okay. So.
Which you absolutely thought he was a goner in the first place, in the tattoo shop.
I sure did. Like, I was so surprised when that scene ended and he was still alive.
Right.
But I love that. I'm just saying things that are good. I love the sequence with the tree trimmer and the leaves and the soccer ball happening in the background of the shot. They're jokes. These are jokes.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to watch.
Do you want to rate both of them? I mean, the Final Destination 2000 is an unofficial rating. It's like a 55. It is just barely above water.
Yeah. I think I would go with 59 for the Orige.
Mm-hmm.
58.
We got to stop agreeing all the time.
I know.
57 and a third for the original.
Our opinions are converging.
Yeah. But that is unofficial, as this is not a number one movie in America. What is Final Destination Bloodlines? I don't want to go too high because I do think it's too long. I think it's a little clunky. That stuff like we don't talk about that woman. That's just a narrative stalling technique, you know.
Yeah.
I started 70 and I'm giving Tony Todd 10 points. Mm. And I wrote down, I'm going to abide by it, 3 points for looking at the babies and thinking about it. So, 83. I got it. Wow. Just fine. It's an 83. Robin?
Oh, God. 66.
Camila?
70.
Mm-hmm. And, like, it's better than I'm saying that it is, if that makes sense. I just hated watching it.
73, okay. Your score for Final Destination Bloodlines. That wins Spooky Season, right?
Yay!
What Lies Beneath was 66 and a third, and The Ring was low 60s, 57. So, the big winner of this year's Spooky Season is hit movie Final Destination Bloodlines. To the bingo card.
I don't think there's anything.
Wait, there is. Talk of springtime. In Final Destination 1, they say, we're going to Paris for 10 days in the spring.
Yeah, there we go. Which I would not have been. There is no way on this earth that I would have been allowed to go to Paris on a school field trip.
Yep.
I
just wouldn't have been able to afford it, I don't think.
Well, I know that. Yeah. No, that part too.
I know those things happen. And like
my friends went to Italy.
My brain knows there's not a big difference between doing that when you're 17 and doing your semester abroad when you're 20. Like but I just can't picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one was out of ammo?
What about one at a time fight?
For death?
Yes. Death is taking this one by one.
Yes, I will allow it.
Bingo.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
All right.
How many solo bingo? It's late in the year. Is that
already selected a movie. So this, we are in the last time what I got to choose was what we did for our 100th episode.
Sounds like you get to choose what we do for our 200th episode.
Okay.
Right? That's funny how that works.
Okay.
This is 195. 194?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. Hooray. Good. You have this burden prize once again.
I know, right? Congratulations.
Because we tossed around ideas, but we didn't settle on one.
Yeah. And right? If you have any suggestions, hit us up on Blue Sky or Instagram, please.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. Black Phone 2, better than Black Phone 1.
I liked Black Phone.
I liked the first one.
Which I was not expecting.
I liked the first one. I think this is absolutely Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors with many extra steps. Like, he's dead now. He's bothering them from beyond the grave. She's having dreams. She eventually realizes she has powers in her dreams and fights back. Oh, it's snap. Nightmare on Elm Street 3. But the production value on this movie is so... the score is perfect. The sound is perfect. The cinematography is amazing. The way it cuts back and forth between, I think, Super 8 footage for stuff.
Interesting.
And the new stuff. The atmosphere is perfect.
Is this the same director as the first one?
Yeah.
Who is also the same director, Sinister?
Scott Derrickson, who did Sinister and Exorcism of Emily Rose, and did Doctor Strange, got one of those. Here's your Marvel tryout.
Got a little Marvel money.
One and done. Right. But this is where he belongs. I really, really liked it. I'm kind of liking just about everything right now, but that jumped out.
I'm really loving who Ethan Hawke is. Like,
yeah,
I'm really excited for Blue Moon. This is like his big Oscar bid this year.
Right.
Yeah.
Good Boys worth seeing. I know that sounds like it's going to be an hour and a half straight of dog peril, but it's really not.
Somebody said that the dog is okay.
The dog is okay. It's the human that's in trouble, not the dog. And that is very clear from the beginning of the movie. It's a decent movie. It just has the best dog actor I've ever seen.
Mm.
If it were a weak year, I would think about nominating him for best actor because he is phenomenal. It is super short. It is like 70 minutes long. And what more movies should do after the credits, they just come on the screen and they're like, we know you're wondering how we shot this. So here's 5 minutes of how we set this up.
I love that.
Yeah.
I do want to say that Susan Orlean reported that Rin Tin Tin's dog actor won the first Academy Award race for best actor. And the Academy was like, we can't do this. And so they gave it to the human runner up.
We'll see how everybody else is. Right now it's DiCaprio or the dog. I'm not sure. I'm not sure which way I would go. Perfect. Has anybody else watched Perfect Neighbor?
No, and Sean, I read your review, and I don't want to watch that.
I don't want to hear it.
So horrible.
I'm going to watch it today.
Okay.
I'll save mine for next time.
Okay.
Because I would rather.
I want to go in.
Like, should I? Yeah. It sounds awful. Like, should I put myself through it?
There are way more awful documentaries.
Okay.
For several reasons, yes.
Okay.
And I'll leave it at that.
All right, great. We'll talk about it next time.
All I'll say right now is it's my number 2 movie of the year at this moment. We'll talk about it next time. I watched Regretting You. Neither of you made the drive to a suburban multiplex for a screening of the Colleen Hoover book adaptation Regretting You.
I truly thought about it. Yeah, but I didn't know.
This was absolutely going to happen because Mary Beth read the book and had a lot to say about it. So as soon as there was a screening, I was like, this is absolutely going to happen.
Does she enjoy Colleen Hoover?
Yeah, I think so. Do you?
I have not. I've never actually read her stuff, but I've read pieces.
Yeah. That is a tricky word.
All right. Then made me think, I don't know if I'm going to be okay with her.
Mary Beth likes it. I think she likes them more as juicy page turners than anything. Right.
Which is fair.
Movie's fine. It's a good date movie in an era where we don't really get those.
They show it before every AMC movie because the trailer has AMC ads in it. And I laugh every single time that she opens the car door into the truck.
That's a good bit. Yeah. There are some actual laughs. There are long stretches of this movie that take place at AMC theaters with lots of AMC branding in the background. And truly, it felt transgressive that I was watching this at a Cinemark. That felt like, aren't they going to like AI something on top of all of these for these releases?
Yeah.
It's fine. I spent the whole movie thinking that Scott Eastwood was, what's his name? Hot guy that everybody.
Glenn Powell?
I spent the whole movie thinking Scott Eastwood was Glenn Powell and thinking that McKenna Grace was Kiernan Shipka.
I thought she was Kiernan Shipka when I first saw the trailer. Yep.
Yeah. It's fine. Go on a date. And lastly, I do want to, wait, have we not talked about Tron?
We don't need to talk about Tron. It sucks.
It sucks.
Hey, just time out real quick. I just have to point out that there is another Colleen Hoover movie coming out called Reminders of Him.
Yes. Mary Beth sent me the trailer.
Starring Tyreek Withers from Him.
Oh.
That's all. That's all.
Okay.
I'm curious. I hope these make money. I hope that grown-ups go on dates and go to the movie theater. I hope that she sold enough books that people, it didn't work with the last one, but the last one had all the controversy.
Right.
So I think that dragged it down.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sure. Why not? We don't need to talk about Tron. It really sucks.
Yeah.
I gave my radio time to a Letterboxd user I don't know, because that Letterboxd user said a really pretty poop from a butt. And like, that's Tron.
Yeah.
Still might vote for it for best score.
Wow.
I didn't even think the score, you know, on the list of Trent Reznor scores is like 19th.
No, I think the score is really good.
Okay.
Because because I love Nine Inch Nails, and it is this, the credit says score by Nine Inch Nails.
Yes, you're right.
Trent Reznor. And I'll conclude with saying I love 2019's Ma. I loved that movie.
Really?
And then I went on Letterboxd and found someone who hated that movie. Camila?
Me. I'm like, really? That movie? I don't remember specifically what it was about it. I feel like Octavia Spencer was not given a good direction in this. And I think, did I have a review on there? Or probably not.
I don't know.
I don't usually leave reviews on Letterboxd. But I think I was just really upset by the...
Well, you had a bare 2 stars. And
by the whole... it felt very mammy to me.
Oh.
All these white kids going to Ma's house. And it's just, there was a lot, from what I'm remembering, that her villain, quote unquote, just felt forced. There was just a lot about it that I didn't.
I totally valid. I did like pause to be like, they are neither putting enough diversity into this kid group that I'm not going to notice. Nor handling.
I thought it was on purpose. I never saw this movie.
And also the thing was like, she was liked somebody's dad or something. And she was getting, this was like a funny Kruger kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like she was so.
It was a delayed revenge thing.
Yeah.
I think she's great. And I really liked her going so campy and over the top.
Maybe that's the thing. I don't necessarily enjoy camp. And that's probably.
Oh, this is hard camp.
Yeah.
This is very, that said, I do think it's plausible that in a small town, a bitter, angry person could decide, I drink with high schoolers now. This is my identity.
Totally.
So I bought into that. I don't know. Just absolutely worked for me. It is streaming everywhere constantly because it's a Blumhouse movie that didn't make any money and they'll take anything. So if you're curious, I say yes. Camila says no. Weigh in. I do love that it's the director of The Help.
Just, oh my God.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
It's Tate. Great. It's Tate Taylor, whose main things are The Help and Girl on the Train. And he got along with Octavia Spencer well. He said that they were hanging out and they said, we should do something fucked up. And that led to
that's
this.
That's amazing.
Love that.
I love that.
Mission accomplished. Mm-hmm.
Camila?
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Me too.
I'm
grumpy
it.
About it.
Why are you grumpy about it?
Because spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers.
No, because this the stupid ending. That's just dumb.
The fact that one of the killers?
Yeah.
I liked that.
You did?
I'm in the very small camp, and I don't even know if there's other people. I always thought that Scream 3 should have ended the entire fucking franchise with Sydney being the killer.
Yeah.
And so when we do it here, now we've it's too late. We can't go back and do that for Scream. I just want Sydney to like live a fucking normal life somewhere. Right. But here with this, that makes total sense to me. And I love the fact that, you know, him and Jennifer Love Hewitt, they got divorced or whatever. We don't really get deep into why.
I liked
why.
The amount that they were in the movie. I thought that was appropriate.
Yeah.
I did also, when he was like, they erased what happened to us. Mm-hmm. I was like, that actually is a compelling motive.
Right.
I still didn't like that it happened. Like, my Letterboxd review said I'm going to have a Last Jedi style meltdown about it because I was like, how dare they? How dare they?
Camila already said my thoughts.
Yeah. It's
that, but for the whole of Scream, the Scream series, I've said this before, the Scream series is always like, it could be anybody. It's always the new person.
Right.
Because they don't actually have the gumption to make it. I just thought this is exactly what a second tier legacy sequel should be.
Yes.
It is a little bit of fan service, the exact formula again, and saying, fuck it, killer. Mm.
Right.
I think that's what should happen to. I Know What You Did Last Summer isn't that good.
No, it's not. That's the thing. Like, I will say, this movie I did not think is good, but it's not like it was a huge drop-off in quality from the original.
No, it's like, it's right on par.
Yes.
Like, it's right there.
I did appreciate the fan service. Like, you know, Sarah Michelle Gellar showing up made me happy. The mid-credit sequence cameo, I was hooting and hollering. Like,
well it's like they set it up. Like,
yeah,
like,
right. Why are we don't want to talk about that. Right. I love that.
Like, why are we talking about her so much? And yet, and also, Ryan Phillippe was also there. Guys, hello.
Was
like,
he?
No, in the first one.
Like, oh, he's busy.
Right. But anyway, but it was also weird to me because I don't remember the Sarah Michelle Gellar's character being that much of a bitch.
She wasn't.
Her sister. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. No. So it seemed like weird.
It was weird.
I saw Goosebumps for the first time.
How's that?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was
cute. Was this with Kasia?
I tried. She didn't.
Okay.
That's, I've been trying to like find these like Halloween movies for kids, and she's just like, it's hit or miss. So I thought it was cute. It was much better than I thought it was going to be.
I don't remember, but
3 stars. I mean, you know, whatever. The Conjuring Last Rites. Finally saw that. Again, 3 stars and a heart. I enjoyed it enough. I just like watching Vera and Patrick do their thing for this thing. And I know everybody hates the Warrens in real life. And I don't have necessarily any feelings about them. It sucks if they did, in fact, steal money from people and the fact that, like, they took their stories and, like, sold it and whatever. And I know they didn't take money from anybody who they're trying to, like, depossess or whatever. But I understand why the hatred, whatever. But I enjoyed The Conjuring. I thought it was a fine little wrap it up ending. And I hope to God we just leave it at that. Please. Like, I'm sick of the Final Destination. Oh, here's another 2.
Yeah.
Let's just please just say what you mean and mean what you say.
Don't count on it.
And 1953 House of Wax. I watched that.
Oh, you know, that one. That's one of those movies that I know I have seen, but couldn't tell you much about it.
I thought it has nothing. This has nothing to do with the remake.
No.
Other than, which I don't think I've seen.
Yeah, like, which shocking.
It involves a wax museum.
Right.
That is the extent.
That's
of,
it. Yeah. Also, this movie is like 90 minutes long, and yet there was still a 10-minute intermission.
Nice. Like, I love it.
And third, like, it's, talk about campy, like, it, the first 10 minutes just go ham.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy pants. Mm-hmm. And It's fucking Vincent Price, and it's just, yeah, what a, always enjoyable. Always
I should revisit time. It.
Have you seen Abominable Dr. Fibes?
No.
That's the next step from House of Wax.
Oh, okay. Like,
is it full, also Vincent Price?
Yeah.
Okay.
But in the most over-the-top, is this a parody or is it scary? Kind of both, ever.
Yeah.
All right, great.
I've given that 5 stars.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't deserve it, but I will give it. Abominable Dr. Fibes Rises Again is slightly less good.
Okay. There seems to be a lot of Vincent Price movies on HBO Max right now.
Mm-hmm. So. They're fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay. I also have been enjoying things, which is great. I've been liking things that other people don't like, and that can sometimes be frustrating. So Megan 2.0, everyone hated that. No. I loved it. Can't be fun. This is what I wanted, and I got it. And she said, hold on to your vaginas. I enjoyed that movie very much. I also watched Love Hurts from earlier this year with Kanye Kwan.
I still haven't watched that.
It is so disposable, but just enjoyable. Yes, exactly. Okay. Like, it's a good airplane movie. And it's like these things, I watch these movies, I'm like, well, that was fun. I knew already from you that people didn't like Megan 2.0, but with that Love Hurts, when I opened it up and saw all these 1-star reviews on Letterboxd, I was like, really?
I didn't see it.
But no more of what the fuck was when I saw After the Hunt, the new Luca Guadagnino movie
with
Julia Roberts and Andrew Garfield and Io Adebri. And
is that good?
I liked it a lot. Like, I you know, was ready to go with my 4-star review. And 1 and 2 stars, and like a couple people with 3 stars being like, well, I don't know if I get it, but I can't deny that it's well made and well acted. Do you know what I mean? And I'm just like, what? Like, did I see the same movie as everyone else? Do you know what I mean? Because I thought it was so interesting.
It's in the theaters now.
Mm-hmm.
Man, maybe I'm going to see it because I heard some of those and was like, well, I'm not going to bother with that. But I like him so much that I...
You should see it.
Yeah.
There are... you should see it mostly so I have someone to talk to about it.
Right. Like, I have some unpacking to do.
Yeah. Like, and I was saying I might actually try to write something about it, which I hardly ever do, but just because I have so many thoughts and feelings and no one to express them to. So hopefully, Sean, you see it and we can talk about it more. Julia Roberts is my favorite performance this year. So... Huh. And then I also saw Kiss of the Spider-Woman. Did y'all know that Kiss of the Spider-Woman came out? Because no one does.
Occasionally I'll see the poster and go, huh. And then I'll move on with my day.
J-Lo keeps showing up in my Instagram feed or people talking about J-Lo.
Like, listen, the movie is pretty good, not great. You know what I mean? It's very, and you'll know if you're going to like it or not, whether or not you're interested in a musical set in a prison cell, right? Like,
I mean, Chicago.
It's very similar to Chicago, and it's directed by Bill Condon, who wrote Chicago and possibly directed the musical sequences. I'm not sure about that. I saw some reference to him in NPR as the director of Chicago, and I was like, eyebrow. I'm pretty sure that my spreadsheet says that Rob Marshall was nominated for Best Director for that.
Pittsburgh Zone.
But anyway, Pittsburgh Zone, Rob Marshall?
Or Pittsburgh's lived here for a while.
Pittsburgh's cousin.
What I will say is some of the best costumes I've seen,
surely.
Period. Yeah. Like, just absolute stunning costume work. So if you are a costumes person, go out of your way to see this movie.
But J-Lo.
She's good. I don't know. I like her, is the thing.
I mean, I do. I don't know. I like her as a performer, but I keep hearing all these stories about her.
How weird she is, you mean?
Not weird, just mean.
Yeah.
And like how she's just basically an asshole to quote unquote normal people.
Yeah.
And then she also just kind of seems like her own worst enemy, you know, like she's just trying to sabotage her life, or she's just delusional.
Are they back together again?
I don't know.
No, what?
They were on a red carpet together.
Because he was a producer
this
for
movie.
Spider-Woman.
I know, but like they were together on the...
No, because like there was a thing. She was on the Today Show. Dude asked her about Ben. She was like, here you go. And then she was like, you know, giving Ben his props for being the producer and that, you know, she couldn't have gotten done.
Right.
She couldn't have got this done without him.
Okay.
So they're not, you know, I swear, good. if they get back together, I'm cutting off the internet and everything. I'm just going.
The second time was cute. Third is like, you guys really need to get over just, this.
Yeah, sadomasochism at that point.
Rob Marshall was born in Madison, but he moved to Pittsburgh at 4.
Huh.
Taylor Allardyce and CMU grad and worked for the Pittsburgh CLO.
Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I knew he lived in Squirrel. I think I knew a guy who lived in his former Squirrel Hill home.
Okay. Well,
very fancy Squirrel Hill home.
Rob Marshall, as your neighbor, I apologize for all those years I was wrong about Chicago. Chicago rules.
Chicago does rule. I'm mostly interested that you sat down and watched Exorcist 3.
Oh, yeah, it's because friend of the pod, Joseph Finn, gave it 5 stars on Letterboxd, and I was like, okay.
Oh, it's good.
I really liked the first hour or so. And then eventually I was like, okay.
but the later stuff is George C. Scott and Brad Dourif arguing about whether or not the devil is there.
Exactly.
That's great.
Exactly. I was like, I get it.
It's consistently ranked as one of the best jump scares in cinema history.
Interesting.
When woman follows the nurse with the big thing.
I knew exactly what you're talking about. So.
Yeah.
I also watched Woman in Cabin 10. You know, fine.
Yeah, Keira Knightley.
Keira Knightley is gaslit on a yacht. Bruce. Yes. It did what it needed to do.
It was like that. It sounds like to me that it's like a nice rainy fall weekend. I got a cup of tea.
I mean, I think I watched it. I got home from coaching. I was kind of tired. Yeah. It was like, let's put on a movie I only kind of have to pay attention to. And ended up paying more attention to it than I expected because it is a decent thriller. But it's also, like, made of dust and air.
Solid.
Yeah.
You did not like May. Mary Beth loves May.
I know ones where I wasn't surprised when I opened it up and saw a bunch of 5-star reviews because I was like, this movie is so what it is that I can see people loving it, but I wanted to pull my skin off. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I don't think so.
We've been here long enough.
Yep.
We're not drawing a movie. Remember, I had a bingo a couple of weeks ago. I have wavered, but not broken. We're going to watch The Natural.
Okay. Right.
We need it. And now...
So won't it be coming out like right after the World Series?
Yeah, it'll be the late season fall baseball will be in some people's minds. I'm not even right now. I don't know. I'm still Red Dead, still mostly Red Dead. Mm. I'm wearing the t-shirt. I went to Sci-Fi Valley Con in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And I met the three main performers from the Red Dead Redemption series.
Great.
Oh, did you love every second of it?
Very, very powerful and important day in my life. They were great.
Dear Diary.
Oh my God. They were so good. And the headline for anyone but me was Jason Marsden, best known as the voice of the cat in Hocus Pocus.
Oh,
Jason
cool.
Jason Marsden?
Yeah. Jason Marsden is his name. He is stunningly short. He may not be 5 feet tall.
Huh.
He's in Spirited Away. He's the scene partner to DeVay Chase in the American dub of he's the main guy in Spirited Away. But yeah, it was great. They run a good convention out there. But yeah, I'm not really into this baseball playoffs, but I am into watching The Natural, RIP Robert Redford.
Right. Though
I considered, do I now, has the statute of limitations passed and we do an RIP Diane Keaton movie?
Oh, jeez. This is too much, man.
There's too many too fast.
You know what? I bet Tony will help us out. Next pick.
Right.
Well, actually, one thing I do want to rectify is when we talked about One Battle After Another last week, we did not mention that Tony Goldwyn is in it and that he's quite good. Tony, good job.
Yeah.
Way to go.
He's great and is so good at turning his likability on its head in that role. My only problem with him, they hire a guy that looks like him.
Yeah, they do look alike. I think that if I weren't deeply aware of what Tony Goldwyn looks like, I would have been confused.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
Tony Goldwyn and one other guy hire a fixer that looks just like Tony Goldwyn.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this going to be referenced at some point? No mention of it.
That's weird.
So, you know, fuck that guy.
All those guys look alike.
Tony Goldwyn is great. The Natural next time. I'm looking forward to it. This is one of those Blu-rays that I bought for $5 two or three years ago and haven't committed to yet. So here we are.
I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
Let's find out. Before we get there, Final Destination Bloodlines. I didn't do the 2001 because we've been in there forever. Bloodlines was released 6 months ago. What was the number one song 6 months ago?
No idea.
It's Ordinary.
What's Ordinary?
It's been the number one song for most of the year, so I'm guessing not yet.
Who does that?
Selena Gomez?
I don't know. Some schmuck.
Sabrina Carpenter?
It's neither of them. This was the one where, like, one of the key names on this, I'm like, I have truly never... Ordinary is Alex Warren. I have no idea who Alex
is.
Warren
that is. Is that the name? Is
that no,
it?
No, that is not what you're looking for.
Little Shoobity Doobop?
Give us some hints.
No, you're thinking of...
Taylor Swift?
No, Taylor Swift is only the last 2 weeks. She has been off the charts until the album came off. It's not her. It's not the song from K-Pop Demon Hunters, which I learned has been number one for like the 8 weeks before the Taylor Swift album came out.
Mm. I did not know that that was... What is that?
K-Pop Demon Hunters. Oh. Mm.
Still haven't seen it. Sounds like I should.
You should.
This is a very big, important artist. This really? Is a very big, important artist we're all thoroughly familiar with. No? The odd thing is, I listen to this artist fairly frequently, but this song has never stuck with me. I know it. I know I've heard it, but
Lady Gaga.
No. I know I've heard it, but I couldn't sing it to you right now, because even on this album, which is about a year old, this isn't one of the ones that stuck out to me, and yet it was number one for 4, 8, 12, 15 weeks.
Good Lord.
What? We're talking, what? Earlier this year, there was a song that was number one for 15 weeks.
From March 1st to May 30th.
And
I mean, this guy was certainly on top of the world.
A dude's voice.
Was certainly on top of the world at the time.
Ed Sheeran?
Kendrick Lamar.
Yes.
Oh.
Luther?
Yeah.
Okay. Great song. That was number one for 15 weeks.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, it's a great song.
I've listened to that album. I haven't listened to that album as much as some of them, but that's I can't think of it in my head right now.
Is this the one that's got a
SZA?
Yeah, it's like he's sampling a Luther Vandross song.
Yeah.
If this world were mine.
If this world were mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
I believe you. I'm just glad that,
you know, he's just like us.
Yeah. As opposed to some other people who are not like us.
Depends on which us. Number one.